In 1984, a small family drama about a bullied high schooler and his elderly sensei changed American cinema forever and launched a shockingly resilient franchise. Of course, I'm talking about The Karate Kid, and today we review its most recent iteration, YouTube Red's original scripted series, Cobra Kai. What do we think? Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to TV Pilot Reviews here on AfterBuzz TV. This is a song from Karate Kid.
That's right, man. The only song. No, there's a couple of ones.
But. One thing you guys will quickly learn, which is kind of embarrassing, is I've actually not seen The Karate Kid.
Awkward.
Not even Jaden?
No, not even Jaden.
Oh. That's just rude.
That was the Kung Fu Kid.
Yes.
That's not even The Karate Kid.
Oops. Fair enough.
I didn't see Jaden.
Good thing
either.
We bought this guy.
Yes. We did, in fact, bring Rick Hong. Rick, I'm going to start by letting you introduce yourself because you've guessed it before, but you are a Karate Kid super fan.
See, here's the thing, man. 1984. It didn't change just American cinema. It changed American culture. Wow. They were literally opening up dojos all around the nation, trying to cash in on this crazy phenomena that is just like with like rollerblading that's like gone now. And
yeah,
now, but like, you know, like I guess in karate probably has evolved now into UFC.
Yeah. So you would go as far as say this is one of your favorite movies of all time.
Yeah,
right?
This is my favorite movie of all time.
Wow.
I've seen Karate Kid 1, 2, 3, the next Karate Kid. I saw the Kung Fu Kid.
Yes. I love it.
And then, of course, Cobra Kai, the pilot.
I feel super, super awkward now because I didn't even know there was like 1, 2, 3 Kung Fu
There's
Kid.
There's a lot. We're going to talk all about
it. It's the Karate Kid, but literally like the Jackie Chan and everything that he's doing in China, like that's not karate. That's Kung Fu.
Interesting. Well, sitting next to Rick is another guest that we had this week, Drew. It's lovely to have
Drew
you here.
I don't have a speech like that.
That's okay.
But hi.
Hi. Have you seen any of them?
Yeah. I've seen all of them.
That's pretty good. It's better than me.
Next Karate Kid with Hilary Swank?
Yes. I've seen that was my favorite one.
The whole panel.
Girl power. Little girl power.
It's good. It's good. So that was Rick and Drew, guys. Thanks for guesting this week. It's always great
to have
you guys.
You're
welcome back whenever you want. But of course, we also have our regulars, D'Angelo and Linda. Let's start with you. Have you seen Karate Kid?
You're going to throw me under the bus like this, aren't you?
Do it.
No.
Neither have I.
I think I saw the original, maybe.
We're a little young for Karate Kid, I think.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did see Jaden.
You did see Jaden. Okay. Linda.
I haven't seen it, but like I was born in this year, so like I feel like I have an affinity to it. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Is that fair?
Yeah. Like, you feel the 80s.
Like, I'm a definitely 80s baby, and I feel like Karate Kid was important, but, like, have I actually seen it?
Fair.
I've seen, like, a lot of the previews and stuff, and, like, I know, like, the Praying Mantis.
Dude, the praying, you're killing me. The crane kick.
Okay.
The praying mantis would be a Chinese kick. Probably.
Is it not the same thing with the arms like this?
No, because the praying mantis does like this like weird thing.
Oh, okay, whatever.
They don't use their legs, I don't think.
You knew what I meant, everybody.
He's going to keep us right today.
He's going to keep us right.
Yeah.
Well, guys, my name is Jeff. I have not seen The Karate Kid, but I have seen Cobra Kai, which we're talking about today here on TV Pilot Reviews. Just so you guys know, if you're tuning in for the first time, this is not a show where we review whole seasons of shows like an after show. We actually only review pilots. But today we are reviewing the new YouTube Red scripted series Cobra Kai, which is, as I mentioned, a sequel to The Karate Kid, featuring the same characters from the original movie. And I'm really excited to hear what everyone thought, because I'm sensing we might have mixed opinions on this, which always makes for good conversation.
Yes.
So what I want to do is go around the horn, hear everyone's overall thoughts, as well as your pass or play. I want to hear whether or not you're a personal pass or play, and if you would recommend that audiences pass or play on this show. I want to start with Rick and then go to Drew, because I feel like we might have mixed opinions here.
Here's this is hard, because I'm a super fan of the original, and I thought the pilot so far honored everything in terms of continuation after 30 years, and it doesn't take itself so seriously. Like this is also my first foray into what a YouTube Red scripted series looks like on something. Like, I haven't watched anything else on YouTube Red, so they're starting off in the right place for me.
Cool. Drew?
I really like the idea
Fair.
Of it. Like, I love the whole nostalgia and all of that, and I think they were going in the right direction. I just felt like it kind of fell short a little bit.
Mm. Okay.
Just a little bit.
So are you guys both pass and plays?
I'm like a hesitant play.
For both?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the crowd and for yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm a play. It's like that award that they give to like the super YouTuber.
Okay.
Those, yes. Like, big awards has like the play symbol. Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm giving to.
Because I told you I didn't like Game of Thrones the first episode I watched it, and then I ended, not that they're on no the same plane whatsoever. No. But I ended up
no one liked the first
following episode. It, and I love that show. So I'm like, maybe if I keep watching, I'll like it.
I also want to say how easily Drew integrates into this panel because you said hesitant play.
Yeah, we have so many tentative.
Such,
we
use tentative such a TV PR move. I'll go ahead and go next. So I haven't seen The Karate Kid. I went into this with incredibly low expectations. Like, I expected this to be bad. And so when it wasn't bad, I, like, kind of ended up really liking it. Like, I think that's a great example of how expectations can really cloud the way you consume media. Because I've gone into shows with high expectations and been disappointed on this show. All of that aside, because I don't think it's necessarily fair as, like, a critic, I thought this was pretty good. I thought for a pilot it was pretty well written. It was interesting. I haven't seen the original, so the fact that I liked it, I think says a lot about the show, and I think the show's doing what it's trying to do. Mm. So I have to credit it for that. And I'm a play. I'm definitely gonna watch the next one. So Linda,
why do I have to go after all that? So I'll say this. I watched the pilot twice in the same sitting, and it just wasn't for me. So I'm a pass. If you're a super like Karate Kid fan, then you should watch this show on YouTube Red, but I will not be watching any more episodes because it was boring to me and I didn't know what was going on because I didn't know, like, what is it, Cobra Kai? Like, if you didn't see the original, for me, there was not enough backstory to know exactly what was going on. So why was it a big deal to me personally? But then when I watched it and rewatched it and was able to say, oh, this is like, you know, how he got his butt kicked or whatever, and this is like a big deal, then I was like, oh, okay, I get it. And it was better. But for the first time through, it just meant nothing to me.
Mm. Mm. It's weird for me. I'm definitely like a personal pass.
See?
But I still kind of wanted to watch the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think I wanted to give them another like chance. The problem isn't the show. It's the stigma I have with YouTube Red already.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. That's what I was going to ask. Jeff, that's what I was going to ask you, though, too. If you would have saw maybe like a Netflix or Amazon Prime or something else connected to it as opposed to a YouTube Red, maybe would like your expectations have been a bit higher as opposed to the low expectation?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know, because I think every streaming service is guilty of putting out crap.
Sure.
Like, I think, honestly, I just assumed based on premise and logline, it wasn't going to be very good. So when it was, I mean, and again, we kind of disagree, but when it wasn't terrible, I was like very surprised.
Yeah.
We reviewed another YouTube Red series recently and it wasn't bad either. Remember the dance show or whatever?
It's similarly a franchise spinoff.
Yeah.
So it's actually like based on the Step Up series.
Yeah.
So I think YouTube Red
is
very clearly trying to capitalize on audiences that already exist.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But again, with what D'Angelo was saying, is like, I'm not paying extra money for a YouTube Red streaming series, which is what I said before, equivalent to what I'm paying for Netflix or even for Hulu. Like, there's just not enough shows for me to say, hey, I'm good with paying like, what is it, like $15 a month or whatever to watch YouTube Red? Like, I'm just not into it.
I think it's just there's an uphill battle for that. I don't even know why I have this negative stigma towards them, but
because you watch YouTube videos for free all the time.
Exactly.
So why all of a sudden are you going to pay $15 to watch a scripted series that you don't know even if it's good or not?
You like, almost wonder if they would have to separate their name from their service to change the stigma. But
well, and I mean,
okay.
No, no, but on top of it, you call it YouTube Red. Sounds like something else. So.
Yeah.
Talk about stigma. Right, though, keep going. Sorry.
I think most of the content is for like preteenish.
Yes. It skews young.
Millennials. Yeah,
which is tough because there's always going to be, for me as a consumer, this aspect of corniness that I have to get over. So now I'm already thinking, I'm not expecting it to be good because it's YouTube Red. It's for preteens, which means like it's kind of like corny a little bit, like not as raw and authentic as I like my stuff.
Right.
So there's already two things that they have to kind of work through to make a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're a pass, but do you think you're an audience play?
I don't think I am.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's because of the $15, how much it costs.
Right. Yeah, I didn't factor into. I mean, I would just do like just to watch a series, maybe put the 15 down just to watch a series and then maybe see what else is on there. But yeah. I don't disagree with you on that.
Get the trial, binge it, cancel
and
it.
Yes. It
awesome. Good
yeah.
to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about the development history of this show, and I'm also going to pull a quick producer move. I think if we switch Drew's headset to Rick's headphones and have you grab that one, sometimes that one's kind of weird on air. But I'm going to talk about the development history of this show, guys. So as I mentioned, this is a Karate Kid spinoff based on the Karate Kid franchise. There have been like 6 Karate Kid movies. Wow. So there's Karate Kid 1 in 1984, Karate Kid 2 in 1986, 3 in 1989, The Next Karate Kid in 1994.
Hilary Swank.
Then there was an animated series as well in the late 80s. Mm-hmm. And then the Jaden Smith one.
Yes.
And now there's this one. Interestingly, Will Smith is a EP on this show. Will Smith is.
Interesting.
Overbrook Entertainment, yeah.
Yeah, so it's... I think that it is similar when we're talking about like the YouTube Red landscape. This is very comparable to their other show, Step Up, High Water. Because it's also based on a franchise and executive produced by Channing Tatum. So I think YouTube Red is seemingly trying to adopt a model that they think will help them. I don't know if this is the show that's going to save YouTube Red, but I do think it's the best thing I've seen them make. I don't know if you guys agree or not, but...
It's the only thing that I've seen yet, so I can't judge it.
Which speaks to the ubiquity of YouTube Red right now. Yes. But just so you guys know, the further we go into this coverage, the more spoilery it's going to get. But a quick log line for the show. Basically, this is 30 years later. So I think if we're thinking about it like real time, if we saw the characters in 1984 when the movie came out, we're basically seeing them as if all the time that's passed between the first movie and now had actually passed. Mm-hmm. And we're primarily following Johnny.
Johnny Lawrence.
Johnny Lawrence, and then also his rival, who's the protagonist of the first movie.
Daniel LaRusso.
Played by their original actors, which I think is pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
And let's go ahead and start by talking about these characters and performances. I want to start with you, Rick. As someone who already knew Johnny and Daniel, what was it like to see them again, and did you feel like you recognized these characters?
Absolutely. What's funny about William Zabka, Billy Zabka, or Johnny Lawrence, he looks a lot different. He's definitely aged, and he looks different than when he did when he was in the 80s. And when he was in the 80s, he was the ultimate D-bag bad guy in a lot of other movies, too.
Okay.
I don't think he ever played the protagonist. Mm. He does a good job of jumping back into this. The funny thing is I actually met him outside of this, and he's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Such a nice guy. So it's funny to see, this bad guy from when I knew him as a kid. Or if I saw him, on the street, I would have, kicked him in the balls. And seeing him as an adult now, meeting him as an adult outside of all this, so nice. And then seeing him back in this role, and, knowing that he's such a nice guy, I wanted to root for him.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I thought he did a great job of, stepping back into it in terms of being Johnny Lawrence, but different because it's him 30 years later, different type of life experience for that character.
Drew, how did you feel about these performances?
I really liked it. I mean, I was excited to see, the OGs back, and I like when they can book stuff later on because I root for the child stars.
Yes.
but I like that, he's was a D-bag back then, but you kind of see levels to him. I like seeing what's his name? The other guy?
Ralph Macchio.
Ralph.
Or Daniel LaRusso.
Daniel LaRusso. I like seeing that he's annoyingly chipper.
Because
he kind of annoyed me back then. I'm talking I was alive in the 80s. But he kind of annoyed me in the Karate Kid movie. So I'm glad to see them kind of play off of that and be he's annoyingly good.
Yeah. How did you guys feel about these characters and performances?
I would definitely argue that they were the reason I would want to revisit it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think they did very well. For me, not knowing their characters, they gave us a flashback, so it gave me a context of probably their personalities. Working from that, his character was great because the child, who we haven't talked about yet, the way they kind of, because the child kind of annoyed me, his character annoyed me. And so I liked that his response was the way it was towards him, because I think that's how I would have responded to the kid as well. So
for
I liked it.
yeah.
Yeah, that's Sholo Mardueña, played by Miguel. Opposite. That's Miguel Diaz, played by Sholo Mardueña.
Yes.
I said that right. Are you buying these performances, Linda?
Yeah, I really did enjoy the Johnny character. That's the blonde, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if he was a D-bag back then. What I liked about this is that you could see that he was trying to balance that with being doing the right thing, mm-hmm. but like doing it in a way where you could tell that that's not normally what he would do, but like he felt compelled to do the right thing.
Yeah, I think
like standing up for the little kid or whatever and
definitely
and all of that. So
yeah. It was incredibly smart for the show to make him our point of entry instead of Daniel.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
It's more interesting.
It's much more interesting.
Way more interesting.
Way.
Yeah, and if you think about it, I think like anti-hero driven narratives weren't really a thing as much in the 80s. Yeah. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the 80s were a little more like black and white in terms of who we're following. Especially when you think about like Spielbergian narratives, but
and a very just white all around.
But. Yes, that's a great point. But the anti-hero is so much more of a thing now. I mean, like if you think about Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, and I mean most TV, Weeds, we're following flawed people.
Dexter.
To make this show feel classically nostalgic but also current, they needed to follow the flawed, broken character.
Yeah.
Because I think it would have been pretty boring to follow Daniel.
Yeah, definitely. He's going to, I mean, I have a feeling, but he's going to have layers too, for sure.
I think so too. Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting how...
Through his daughter.
Yeah, for those who haven't seen it, and again, we're getting more and more spoilery, but this doesn't give too much away. The parents who played children in the original movies now have their own kids. So I think the show is very smartly creating these generational conflicts that I'm guessing will be explored as the series continues. Mm-hmm. I liked this kid, Miguel. I'm interested, why did you kind of find him annoying? Just so you guys know, he's sort of, if you had to compare characters, he's kind of like the Daniel LaRusso of this show.
Yeah,
Daniel LaRusso back in the day, he was a fish out of water, like came to a new school and definitely had a chip on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the personality, like the he obviously didn't want to conduct a conversation with him and he was just kind of following him around. Just like a normal, regular, annoying 12-year-old or however old he was.
Right.
I just felt those emotions towards him. I'm not sure if I was supposed to, but I definitely did.
That's funny you saw him as 12. I saw him as like 16.
Really?
I think so.
I think he's in high school.
Because they can drive maybe.
No,
maybe.
I didn't see him driving.
He's too poor. I think he's too like even Daniel in the original movies didn't drive. He still rode a bike, but he could drive.
Okay,
or he was learning to drive. Sorry. So
I just figured like the way I agree with you, he was a bit annoying. Like I thought of where I live is very community, right? And if you want to talk to someone, you can because it's very like small community. And I can't imagine like me taking my garbage out and like this kid following you around, like, "Hey, is your water like? Who are you?"
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
that's how it felt.
What? Why are you here? And why are you still here? Okay, well, have a good day. Like, that's too much for me, especially early morning. I would just be like, "Stop talking."
Yeah.
So one of the things I think is making this show work for me is like tone. And so Drew, as someone who was like a bit of a naysayer, obviously it's kind of like an 80s sort of throwback tone.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that was working for you? Or is that one of the things that sort of detracted you from the show?
I'm really trying to figure out what it is I didn't vibe with. I think it was just like the very like dry humor was like too dry for me. And I think like on a lot of 80s movies, like the dry humor was still fairly obvious.
Yeah.
And like it fit the character and it just, I don't know, it just didn't work for me.
It didn't connect. Do you feel like tone is sort of what prevented you from loving it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. This is, to the other YouTube Red stuff I've seen, it's kind of in a similar tone too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It is.
You're
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
That Step Up show, same thing.
I do have to applaud YouTube Red because I think they're doing a good job of like trying to create a brand.
And a lane.
Yeah, and a lane. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem like that lane is doing much for them right now.
I think it's getting better.
Yeah.
Because I've seen, it was some other show I saw that was just like, no. And then Step Up, I think you guys said it was all right. And this is better. This is like watchable.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So are you saying that their brand is recreating like 80s hits
just like
for today?
Capitalizing on nostalgia, I think. And like, again, like creating narratives about teens. What's weird to me about YouTube Red is we mentioned they're kind of going for the tween demographic.
Yeah.
So both Step Up, and you could argue elements of this are about the high school experience. But what's weird is both of these shows had all these swears. Like, it was weird to me that we see the opening scene, and then immediately it's like come on, bitch, shit, pussy, bitch. Pardon my French. But I just thought that was... Did that throw anyone off?
Well, I think there's two crowds they're trying to get. They're trying to get the... Especially with the nostalgia stuff. The super fan, like, who grew up watching it. And then their children.
Yeah.
Like, and, so, okay. And, I mean, also, too, I mean, these kids can go on YouTube and hear bad language anyway.
They're bad as hell.
Yeah. So it's not... For us, I mean, yeah, me growing up, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, but... For these kids nowadays, I mean, go to any social media thing, and it's like it'll be there. Insane. President, I mean, the president has garbage, you know, that he says. So,
and they're saying
I just feel
it too.
Like if you're trying to recreate nostalgia for the tweens, right, mm-hmm. and perhaps their parents, then. I feel like you have to have more of a backstory, and I think of that with this Cobra Kai, even with the Step Up show that we talked about, which is like I guess not 80s but 90s or whatever. But you have to have a backstory, because if I was 13 years old, and let's say I never watched The Karate Kid, but my parents talked about The Karate Kid, and I watched this pilot, I would know nothing about the backstory. I would think it was a new show. Hmm. So I get what you guys are saying, like we're recreating nostalgia. But if you're recreating nostalgia, you have to have more of a backstory for the children who have not actually seen the original, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. I think that's the whole idea, is that you're kind of forced to watch the old movie first to kind of enjoy this. No, I was thinking about the comparisons. I was thinking about what you were saying in my own brain before I came on. And you can't have a kid watch The Force Awakens without showing them Star Wars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't have... Fuller House and just show them without showing them Full House.
But what I'm saying is that, is this series making you want to do that? I would say no. I would say this is not making me want to say, oh, what's the original all about? Yeah. And I want to know more about 1, 2, and 3, like you said, and then watch the series and be like, whoa, my mind is blown. That's not what's happening for me. Mm. At least.
See, interestingly, I'm in the same boat where I'm not familiar with the original franchise, but I kind of think this stands on its own. Like, I think the best kind of nostalgia stuff needs to do both. Mm. It needs to both honor the fans, but also, like, be a good enough show to stand on its own merits in case you don't have a precedent. And, like, again, my expectations were so low. But, like, I thought it was a good pilot. Hmm. Like, I think, like, it did its job. It showed me who the characters were. It set up stakes. Hmm. And, like, the writing, like, seemed consistent. Like, I feel like the world it created remained consistent throughout the pilot, which, like, doesn't always happen. Hmm. Yeah. And I also think it, like, was a really accurate picture of the valley.
Ah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, kinda... very, very, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like whenever I see California on TV, I'm like, that's not right. But I just feel like it nailed the valley.
Definitely the valley. It was nice seeing that stuff.
Like, well, stuff that because, but that, and that was the other thing. That's where the movie took place. And a lot of 80s, you know, making movies back in the 80s was, I mean, you got a lot of bad movies, but it's a lot cheaper to make movies in LA, but it's only as production costs of now, like, you know, a lot of places take place somewhere else, mimicking where it is.
Was it original in the valley?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I do want to tell you guys something else that's in the valley, and that's Maria Menounos's house.
I thought it was her podcast.
Here's the address.
I won't tell you where it is. But she may or may not record her show there. And her show is great. And I want to tell you guys that if you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, you should listen to her show. It's called Conversations with Maria Menounos, and it's hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you never had. Just go on iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe. And when you do, let Maria know it was your TV Pilot Reviews panel who got you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Check it out. I know she's a Karate Kid fan, so.
There you go. She might be talking about the show. She might be talking about Cobra Kai. One, so, you know, download. Listen to it in your car.
Listen to it in your car.
Yep.
I don't feel like I have a ton more to say about this show, just because it was a very straightforward, not necessarily the most thematically deep show we've covered on this podcast, but. Do you guys have any thoughts before we move on to some of our other segments?
Other segments?
Well, we do like our rating.
I'll summon ad at the very end of this podcast.
Okay, cool. Okay, we'll make sure we save it for that. So that's our overall thoughts on Cobra Kai. I think we're kind of mixed, but this is the kind of show I'd be very curious to hear what other people think.
Definitely.
And I also want you to know, if you're commenting down below, do you like it or do you not like it? And have you seen the original or have you not? Because what's interesting is we have a variety of circumstances on this panel. We all have different opinions. So let us know. And you're already on YouTube if you're watching live. So check it out.
And okay. I want to also add, if you're like a YouTube Red subscriber, and if you are, why are you? And do you like all the other scripted shows that they're doing? Because like, hey, I'm not a subscriber, but if you can tell me why it's good, then maybe I will be.
Cool. One quick thing I want to say about this show before we move on. I was reading a review of the show from a critic I really like at NPR named Linda Holmes. And she was talking about how she's like, I know this show could be better. Oh, dang it. I'm going to forget how she phrased it. She goes, there's a lot of TV that's not very good, but you're allowed to love it anyway.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of great TV that you don't really like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was like, that's a good point.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about this show.
Yeah.
Just because the TV's not great doesn't mean you can't love it.
I mean, there are a couple of shows right now that I won't specifically name, but I hate watch them.
Yeah.
And I can't stop hate watching them. And I continue to watch them every week.
I get that.
And I'm like, why did I just waste? Oh, because I have to.
Because you have to.
I've already invested.
Because you know that it got picked up for another season. And you're like, but why?
What's going on? Exactly. Rick, exactly. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
I do that.
Listen, there's two shows specifically that I shake my head every time, and I will not name them so that you guys won't judge me. But
tell us after.
I'm definitely hate watching them.
Fair enough. Okay, well, so let's talk about, speaking of second seasons, do you guys think this is the kind of show, based on the pilot alone, that we'll see a second season?
I mean, I don't know what else YouTube Red is going to put out, so I'm assuming, like, they don't really have a lot going for them.
Yeah, shade.
And I'm wondering, how do they even rate their shows on YouTube Red? Like, how do you know something's a success?
Yeah.
Like, is it by the hits? Like, you know how something's gone viral on regular YouTube? Is it the same type of thing? Like, oh, this has gone viral, so we're going to have a second season? Like, how does that work?
Well, they're big on their analytics. You can see how long people watched it. Yeah. They can really, like, go into details with how they see
it. Yeah, so then, but how does it work? So, is it a quick, like, wow, this has gone viral, or is it over 6 months, 8 months, a year, where they say, oh, over a year, we've got X amount of subscribers and X amount of views, so yeah, we're going to renew it.
So, I mean, not to dive too far in it, but, like, I know you can literally see, like, if you get into the analytics of things, especially with YouTube, because they're really good at that, you can go in and see, like, how long did each viewer watch the show, plus the amount of views. I would imagine the combination of both will tell them if it's good content or not.
It must drive them crazy, though, that, like, they can have a video of an 8-year-old who farts and it gets 60 million views, and then they put millions of dollars into a scripted show and they, like, can't figure out.
Oh, Charlie bit me. Yeah. You know, the way that's my whole thing with this is that I don't know what the threshold is,
right?
But I don't imagine that this costs a lot.
I would have to agree.
Didn't look like it cost a lot.
Yeah, because, like, William Zabka hasn't worked in a long time. Yeah. Ralph Macchio hasn't worked in a long time, so they're not expensive people.
Right.
They're also co-executive producers on this. I think the writers are probably, like, Hayden Schlossberg and Josh Hill, the creators of this series, are probably the most paid people on the thing.
Yeah.
Plus, you say Will Smith was involved in it?
Yeah. Right. But in terms of the... actual, like, actors and everything. Even if you just think of the locations that we've seen so far, it's like just the strip mall, you know, and the apartment complex.
Yeah.
So a lot of that stuff is, even in the car, I'm sure it's like green screen or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I would almost think in some of those, the music might have cost the most to make the pilot than anything else combined in it.
I bet. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't look bad, but it doesn't look... What's interesting is I think that Step Up show looked really expensive.
It did.
They're probably panicking. They're like, we've got to shoot some good stuff and we can't spend that much. Yeah. So, but it's an example of, at least for me, if story's working, characters are working, if it doesn't look great, I'm still going to get on board, you know? Yeah. So we'll have to see. It's hard to know right now what's going to happen with the show, but I do want to go around and rate the pilot out of 5, because we always do. I'm giving it a 4.1.
No, you are.
I can't stop with your numbers are so inconsistent. You know, they're so 4.1. Ridiculous. Like four, so ridiculous.
You're not even sure you like it. And you gave it a 4.1.
No, I like it.
The last OG. What's the other one?
The last
one?
OG was so
what was the other one? You didn't give it even a 4.1.
Alone Together. You love Alone,
Alone Together.
Yeah, that show's great.
What's the other one that was like ridiculous? The lady that.
I can't remember.
Oh my god, no. I'm done with him.
She's always displeased. That's high. That's high.
The show did. It set out. It's
so
very,
on the writing alone part.
Totally, Jeff. It's doing its job. It's hard to write a pilot that's consistent like that.
Okay. Why are you looking at me? I think it's crazy too.
Because I just don't. I'm trying to figure out his numbering. Roger, I'm going to watch every single show and write down his numbering system and come back and talk about it. Because this sounds crazy to me.
What did you guys
think? What's your number?
My number.
Yeah.
For the pilot, I'm going to go 2.5.
Okay.
I was going to go lower. I was going to go like 2-3.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Man. Look at my hand. Five. Just like my fist. Just like my fist. What? Five fingers. Just like my fist.
You're totally biased.
I know what I'm saying. If I'm biased, yeah.
Your nostalgia has blurred you.
I'm a super fan, so I should actually be a hater, but I'm not.
Dang,
so.
What is Drew going to say? Because she didn't
I'm
like
trying
it
to like. No, I did not like it. I liked it. It's just. No, that like is a strong word. I feel like I gauge in the middle of all of you, so I'm going to say like a 3.1.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, this has been our coverage of Cobra Kai. I want to give you the dais, Rick. 4.1. You had something to say.
Oh, well, hey guys, after this thing gets over, I will show you the motto of Cobra Kai, which is strike hard. No mercy.
What is it? Strike first, strike hard, no mercy.
Strike
we
hard,
saw
but, yeah.
We yeah,
saw
it.
Yeah,
put it on the wall.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Strike first, strike hard, no mercy. I love it, Rick.
Strike hard.
Well, guys, this has been our coverage of YouTube Red's Cobra Kai. We're kind of mixed on it, but I think it's a fun show to discuss because it's kind of under the radar. So let us know what you think in the comments. We love when you post there, and it's a fun place to just kind of gauge and see what you guys are thinking. If you're not on YouTube or in your car and you'd rather connect with us on Twitter, you can do that, and you can reach out to me personally, Jeff, on Twitter at Jeffrey C. Graham. How about the rest of you guys?
Linda Antwi, all across social media. Linda is so girly.
And I'm D'Angelo. Hit me up on Twitter at D'AngeloTV or on Instagram at D'Angelo.
Hey guys, I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong. And I might have actually got that motto wrong, but whatever.
And I'm Drew Jones. You can follow me on everything at OK Drew J.
Thanks for guesting, guys. Good
thanks for having us.
And we'll see you guys next week, Wednesday at 9 p.m.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Strike first, strike hard, no mercy.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.